Okay, so my name is Tim Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 29th of August, 2009, and the time is 11:15 p.m. Can you tell me your name, your age, and where you come from?
Okay, my name's John Seedhouse. I come from Lichfield in Staffordshire, up in the Midlands. I'm 30-something years old. If you take 1972 from 2008, that'll tell you how old I am, but I can never work it out, but it's 30-something.
Cool, thank you very much.
No problem.
When was it you first found out about the One Another Project?
Quite a while ago, actually. It was my partner that noticed it. She's quite a keen fan of Gormley's work. We were sort of driven around the UK going places like Crosby Beach. And so it's a perpetual sort of poke on the shoulder in pre-bedtime pillow talk, really. And it sank into the subconsciousness, and I started to have a look at the website and started to follow it. Really, it was, I guess it's a subconscious thing almost.
And when was it you found out that you were going to be going up on the plinth?
Fairly recently, actually. It's I think I class myself as a substitute player. So it's been a bit of a rush day to get organised and get down to London.
So how do you feel now that you're going up on the plinth?
A mixture of trepidation, expectation, and I guess excitement to be part of something that's just a little bit different. In what I do, I'm a teacher in my day-to-day life, and one of the things I teach is general studies, and we have to explain the validity of art within the environment and actually what is art. So from the point of view of giving me something to talk to students about, I guess it's going to give me an insight that maybe some of the other tutors won't have, whether the kids will actually be engaged by that or not, I'm not sure. It's certainly something that really doesn't tie into what their perception will be. For the last 2 years, I've told them that the Selfridges building in Birmingham is a piece of art, and I've been met with disdain, scorn, and general apprehension. So how this will go down, I'm really not sure.
So can you tell us a bit about teaching? How was it you got into teaching? What is it you get up to?
I went into teaching by way of paying back a little bit to society. I worked in sales after I graduated from university and spent the best part of a decade living in London. I guess you'd say not quite ripping people off, but certainly erring on the side of taking more money than they wanted to pay for things that they may not necessarily have wanted. And in a way, this is penance. I've said to myself, for career-wise, I'll give 7 years to education, at least initially, and see how it goes from then. And maybe with some of the lessons that I've learned from the things that I've done in the past, hopefully, I guess, give the youth of today a little bit of a more positive outlook on life than maybe I had, maybe a less cynical approach to it.
Can you tell us about that approach that you had?
I grew up, I guess, at the tail end of the 1980s and saw, living in the West Midlands, the backlash of yuppie society. On the TV, you'd see pictures of estate agents and hear stories of multi-million pound bonuses, people driving Porsches. Well, going around and seeing the mines being closed down, people really being in dire straits, I guess, and putting a happy face on it. And in many ways, when I graduated from university, I didn't want to be part of that world. I didn't want to be poor. I didn't want to experience the kind of things that my parents had been hiding away from me. And I guess the obvious way to do that is to go into a sales job, which I think a lot of people in that, or certainly that part of my generation, fell into. Not quite greed is good, but this is easy money to earn, and this is what's expected of you. Certainly living in London, that's kind of, it's almost the atmosphere that it promotes in people. It doesn't seem to be a very altruistic system and city to live in. On September 11th, when the Twin Trade Center was attacked, I was actually in New York, and I feel as though at that point in my life, there was not quite an epiphany, but the start of a turn in the way that I approach things. Came back from New York and really didn't feel that motivated with the idea of speaking to people and persuading them to do things that they didn't want to do. And that fermented the seeds, really, for a transfer into education. and I guess dealing with children or dealing with young adults, as it is. I work in FE, so it's 16-year-olds and above, at a point where they could become very disillusioned. Whether that's you could call that a valid turning point in life, I don't know. I mean, there's probably other factors that come into it.
And can you tell us how it is then, so how you find working in the education system at the moment?
Education system is really, really frustrating. Because it's almost a politically or business run system now. Whether you say that I've got a truly altruistic reason to go into it or not, that's debatable. What I do find is that desire to educate is always hampered, or shall we say comes second place to the idea of brands and logos and identities and facts and figures and balance sheets. The old adage being that if you try something in industry and it doesn't work, try it in the health service. If it doesn't work there, stick it into education. And in some ways at the moment, I actually feel that the education system is echoing parts of the industry that I saw when I was actually in the selling environment. It's almost like a bad case of deja vu. Flip side of that being is that because I have that cynicism towards that, I think I'm quite pragmatic with the students that I have, and I'm pretty honest about it. I'm not going to sugarcoat a pill if I think that they can learn something from it. But I will try and put a positive spin and say, well, this is a situation, but here's how you can make something out of it. Whether people actually teach, work those lessons out at this point, or whether it's something that might possibly hit them with their own experience, I can't live their lives for them. But I do kind of get nice messages on Facebook from ex-students that have sort of said, actually, you know, you were right. It is a bit out there, and yeah, maybe you were telling us the right things at that point, and thanks very much for showing me that film, because it did provoke me to think in a different direction.
So what other things are you interested in? What do you get up to in your spare time?
Photography. It's one of my keenest interests. Actually, I studied at university and then walked away from for quite a few years. I've got a 35mm digital camera, and I play a lot with Photoshop, and I tend to go out and about taking pictures as much as possible. One of the things that I'm going to do on the plinth tonight is just use the camera to photograph the audience that are looking up, if there are any people looking up, a bloke from the West Midlands. So I actually think that the more interesting things in life are actually the reactions of other people. We go to comedy clubs quite a lot. There's a guy that runs a club in Sutton Coalfield called the Junction Club, upstairs at the station. Just get a quick plug in for Mark there. And we go along, we take photographs of the comedians there. And 9 times out of 10, I'll be sitting there, my partner will be taking a photograph of the stage, and I'll be balancing the camera on my shoulder, taking a photograph of what the audience are doing. Which, whether reading through the things that sort of Gormley said about at the plinth, I think that's part of the ethos behind it. It's the reaction of, I guess, the general population to something that's put in front of them. And whether he has sort of seen that aspect, or whether that's somebody he wants to see, kind of echoes the way that the comedians talk to me about the photographs that they see afterwards of the audience. They're cut off by a spotlight that shows them 2 rows. When I show them pictures, it shows them the 15 rows behind, how people are actually reacting to what they're doing.
And you mentioned Gormley, so what does it feel like to be part of a piece of his art? You mentioned the art as well, you know, that you teach.
It's, it's obviously one of the most well-known names around in the art world. I guess unless you go down Damien Hirst Avenue of the confrontational artwork. I won't say that I agree with things that he's said and things that he's written about, and whether I actually sort of, you know, what my own personal reaction is to, you know, the plinth being there. I like the idea. I'm motivated by the idea. It seems to be almost a logical extension of the idea of Big Brother culture. Borrell said everyone's going to be famous for 15 minutes or thereabouts, and Gormley's given everyone sort of 45 minutes extra to that, so in a way it's kind of two fingers to New York culture from the 1960s and 70s. And that, I think, it's kind of a wry cynicism to it almost. I guess the one parallel I can draw with what he's doing is what Rankin's doing at the moment, photographing the general public and kind of turning them into stars in the same way that he'd turn, you know, Kate Moss or someone like Robert De Niro into a perfectly constructed two-dimensional piece of airbrushed artwork.
And Can you tell us a little bit about your partner?
We've been together for 5 years. I've just proposed, and actually we've been out in Spain recently, and I've just asked her father for a hand in marriage, and he's sort of acquiesced to that with his usual lack of conversation, but a happy smile and a nod and a handshake. We met through working on the internet. We were kind of meandering around the same forums for quite a long time, working on different projects, and got to know each other that way. And then 5 and a bit years ago, I dropped into a cup of coffee, and we've kind of been inseparable since then. Actually, she's just been on the plinth tonight as well. So it's kind of nice. If we'd have brought the cat with us, then there might have been a chance to get all three of the family up there.
And what things would you say are most important to you at the moment?
Right now, in this instance, probably making sure that my own personal environment is a settled environment. Making sure that I can get up in the morning and know that there's food in the fridge, and that I can get to work and there is a job to go to. And it's really sad to say that. It's almost a pragmatism of life, given the credit crunch and given the employment situation, that those things should be so to the forefront of my mind. Usually it wouldn't be. Usually I'd be quite excited about reading a book or seeing a film. But in the last, in the last 6 months, things have been brought very much to the foreground of, it's not great out there. Maybe we're seeing it, I mentioned before about growing up at the end of the 80s, almost a return to that period of recession and the failure of the Labour government in 1979. I do like gardening now, and that does give me quite a pleasure in life. We've just been in Spain for a month with family, and one of the things that I did before we went away is to build a deck in the back garden. And little humble things like that that you can look at on Google Earth and just sort of think that's mine, they kind of give me a warm glow and a warm feeling. And friends, they're also kind of key. I'll be sending a text to a mate of mine who's actually having a weekend in Brighton. It's his 50th birthday this weekend, so I guess I'll be letting him know that I'm standing on a plinth thinking about him. Other than that, probably waking up in the morning and finding a cat on my feet is quite a nice feeling.
And what hopes and plans do you have for the future?
I'm kind of simple in that respect. I've reached a point in my life where I'm quite happy. Contrary to what it probably sounds like with me saying about society being a little bit iffy and the financial situation being down. I've got a great partner. I've got a nice house. I'm not worried about the mortgage too much. In the future, I'd like to travel a bit more. I'd like to go back to New York. It'd be nice to go back 10 years on, really, and maybe hook up with a few of the people that I met there under a strange situation. Other than that, I'm just kind of happy to wake up in the morning and to know that I'm awake and alive, and realistically within those four walls everything's pretty good. Maybe one day I'd like to go and stand on stage and do a bit of comedy, but whether that'll ever happen, it probably depends on whether I'm funny or not.
And you mentioned then you got family as well in the south of Spain. What's that like, kind of having two different lives in two different places?
It's, in one way, it's quite pleasurable to sort of walk away from one reality and walk into another one that is completely different. And the family that we've got out there live in the countryside. My father-in-law keeps chickens and goats and a lame horse. And his motivation is getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to feed his chickens, check his pigeons, and to walk his goats to some grass, which is almost the antithesis of getting up in the morning and driving to work and being face to face with 60 half awake students. It does, I suppose, put a serious handbrake on your way of thinking at that point. I guess the downside is that you've got two lots of responsibilities. You kind of feel obliged to be here or there, and maybe that stops you from thinking in a third direction of other things to do. Not to say that's a negative thing particularly. I suppose it's growing up. It's a changeover.
And what impact do you think this experience being on the plinth might have upon you?
It's going to be an hour where I'm probably going to think about things that maybe I don't usually get a moment to think about. You could say going in the garden and deadheading plants or planting something gives you time to yourself, but you actually focus on what you're doing at that point. When you go out and take photographs, you're kind of looking at the reaction of people. When you stand in front of a classroom, then you're constantly thinking about what the next question that's going to come at you is. And really standing on the plinth, from what I've seen walking around this afternoon and this evening, is that there's a limited amount of interaction with the people below. And you can kind of choose whether to react to that or not. I'm very conscious of the fact there's microphones up there because they're being televised. That's something that I guess really has only started to sink in the last few hours. That if I do open my mouth up there, yeah, in the same way that I'm talking now, I'm going to have to be moderate on what I say or my opinions or my viewpoints. I can't go up there and bemoan the fact that O2 haven't managed to get Wi-Fi access on the central London, for example. I mean, that's probably going to be a fairly negative thing to say. I'm hoping to come down from it in one piece, not pelted with tomatoes or anything else that might be flying around. It's going to be a bizarre time to go on midnight. It's kind of that movement between pubs and clubs time for London, and that's... what the reaction will be to the people standing there watching someone who's not dressed in a clown outfit or a bunny suit or showing films is going to be, whether there's going to be a general feeling of disdain towards being let down by the entertainment, perhaps. So then people come here with an expectation. One of the things that I guess is running through my mind right now as we're doing this interview is, well, I'm not really delivering anything to those people. Should I be delivering something? Should I be providing some soul-searching wit to them, or should I be rending my clothes off and exposing myself to the world, which frankly is not a pretty thought. It'd be an interesting drive back to the Midlands tonight, because we'll have both gone through the experience, and we're probably going to have two very different experiences from it. We'll see. I'll let you know on the website how I feel in 24 hours time.
And how are you feeling right now, just before you go up?
Nervous. Probably more nervous the more questions you ask me. I don't know. I guess I'll realise that when I'm on the cherry picker going up to the plinth and replacing the lady who's up there at the moment.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.